The headlines were predictable. Croesus captured. Beauty to wed wealth. Son of richest man in the world gives up church and goes in for dancing to win Miss Aldrich. Americans in the autumn of 1901 were both fascinated and repelled by the pending alliance between the world's greatest fortune and the country's dominant lawmaker. The site of the wedding was never in doubt. Although the bride expressed her preference for a modest ceremony in a small Warwick church, and the groom would have been perfectly happy to plight his troth before a handful of witnesses in New York's little church around the corner, the choice didn't rest with Abby Green Aldrich or John D. Rockefeller, Jr. In the Aldrich household, senatorial privilege governed. Unmitigated by senatorial courtesy, it reserved all questions of importance to the imperious figure popularly labeled the General Manager of the United States. Virtually forgotten today, for 20 years straddling the end of the 19th century, Nelson Wilmarth Aldrich pulled the nation's financial strings in tandem with Wall Street Confederates like J.P. Morgan and Paul Warburg. "He was so much the man of power that he never thought about his power," wrote Aldrich's official biographer. "It was natural to him, like breathing air." Much the same would be said of the senator's grandson and namesake, who emulated his appetite for command, his chronic restlessness, and his unabashed delight in art, at once spiritual and sensual. "Most people don't know what they want," Aldrich grumbled. This was not a criticism frequently directed at the senior senator from Rhode Island. The recent assassination of President William McKinley, long a champion of economic protectionism, may have been grim news indeed for like-minded Republicans like Aldrich. Yet the death of a president, however untimely, could not be allowed to interfere with the wedding of Abby Aldrich 4 weeks later. If anything, uncertainty about McKinley's swashbuckling successor, Theodore Roosevelt, lent a note of urgency to the invitations Aldrich dispatched to his Capitol Hill colleagues. "Come right to Warwick and stay," he told one. "We will have a committee meeting right away after. There are a number of things I want to talk to you about." The new president, precluded by the requirements of public mourning from attending the nuptials, was nonetheless careful to solicit senatorial counsel as he composed his first defining message to Congress. Aldrich took such deference as his due. As a child, he had come to see himself among the elect, a status reinforced by his mother's claims of descent from New England patriarchs John Winthrop and Roger Williams. While still a newcomer to the Providence City Council, Aldrich had resolved to build a great country seat on the west shore of Narragansett Bay at Warwick. Even now, architects were drawing plans for a 70-room chateau, serviced by a 200-yard private railroad laid down to muffle the clatter of tradesmen making deliveries. The park-like setting already boasted a large stone tea-house, in the elegant ballroom of which Abby and John would exchange their vows. None of the several hundred invited guests who made their way there on the morning of October 9, 1901, by steamer or special streetcar, could fail to be impressed by the waterfront estate Aldrich called Indian Oaks, and muckraking journalists made notorious as the house that Sugar built. Its owner, the son of a mill worker from Foster, Rhode Island, had traveled an improbable road in his 60 years. Before his 10th birthday, Aldrich passed up a visiting circus and, with the money saved, purchased the self-improving volume A Tinker's Son or I'll Be Somebody Yet. At 17, he landed a job as a wholesale grocer's clerk in the state capital of Providence, attending evening lectures at a local lyceum to compensate for a meager formal education. Aldrich paid special attention to the rules of debate and parliamentary procedure. The attack on Fort Sumter interrupted his bookkeeping labors, but only briefly. A bout of typhoid fever earned him a discharge from the 10th Rhode Island Volunteers garrisoning wartime Washington. Sickened by the possibility that he might remain one of the dumb-driven cattle constituting the bulk of humanity, Aldrich returned to Providence in the autumn of 1862. He began courting Abby Pierce Chapman, a Mayflower descendant to whom he confided a fierce resolution to achieve, willingly or forcibly wrested from a selfish world, success, counted, as the mass count it, by dollars and cents. The ambitious clerk dreaded anonymity only slightly less than the soul-killing drudgery of the ledger book. Within a year of their 1866 marriage, Nelson and Abby welcomed a son, christened Nelson Jr. The boy's death at the age of 4 devastated his parents, but it was the father who fled to the old world, leaving Abby to console herself as he applied the healing balm of art.